Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley on this Thanksgiving weekend. Several announcements to make. I'll make some that are not in the bulletin. We're having a children's sermon following Greeting God's Family by Suzanne. So if any parents have children over in the nursery or anywhere in the building, you can go get them during the Greeting God's Family and bring them over, because I know they will enjoy being with Suzanne and being over here for the children's sermon. Also, I have this listed on PowerPoint, but it's not in the bulletin. The ordination and installation of elders and deacons will take place following the sermon. And if you did not see it in the Shaler Journal, there was an article about Thanksgiving for All, about Glenshaw Valley and the Thanksgiving luncheon we provide to the community. It's been going on, I think, since about 1990 or 91. I can't remember for sure, but Mabe and Kathy were interviewed, and it's a very nice article. And if you did not see it, I brought mine and thumbtacked it to the bulletin board on the back. I'm not going to read all of these. You can do that for time today. But December the 15th is a birthday party for Jesus. And you can bring a salad or vegetable dish. And ham and dessert will be provided, and a visit from Santa. The Edna Food Bank is in need of frozen turkeys and looking for readers for the Advent candles and Advent service. And I believe there's a sign-up sheet at the back, or you can contact Arlie Caneas by phone or by her email. And also the offering envelopes on the table in the back. Please be sure to sign your red pad with your name, address. If anything has changed, or you've added a cell phone number or changed one, or email address, let us know. We have a minute for mission from the deacons.
Good morning.
There we go.
Let's see. We as the deacons are here today to make a plea to every single one of you to help our community provide Christmas gifts to the children and families in need. Every year there are more and more families who have either lost their jobs, can't find jobs, or have no money to pay their bills. How can these families afford to buy Christmas gifts for their children? As a congregation, we need to pull together to help provide these families with presents to put under their Christmas tree, because without us, they may not have anything. This year, we are going to help out 19 children in 7 different families. Carol Kane has graciously made us new boy and girl angels this year, so look for those beautiful ornaments on the tree. In past years, we've had different families grouped according to color. With our new angels, they will still be grouped into colors, but each family will have the same color sticker. The names and ages will be on the front of the angel, and on the back will be the wish list given to us by their parents. It is not necessary to get everything on the list. They are merely suggestions as to what the child wants. And if you don't feel that you want to do a whole angel yourself, pitch in with someone. Have, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 people go in on an angel with you. There will be a deacon assigned to the angel tree table in the back of the church. When you pick an angel, please, please, please make sure that the deacon assigned to the angel tree table knows the angel that you are taking. The gifts need to be wrapped, tagged with the angel, and returned by Wednesday, December 18th. We need to have time to purchase gifts for those angels that were not chosen. Last year, we had 2 children who were not selected. I truly know these are troubling times for everyone, but if we can pull together as a congregation to help these children have a very Merry Christmas, I'm sure they and their community and their parents would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
And our food bank, there's been a lot of food brought in. There are some dented cans in the back. The food bank will not take those dented cans. So if anybody would like those, if they've not already been taken, feel free to take those home. There's nothing wrong with them. Why the food bank doesn't take them, I'm not sure, but they're yours for the taking. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 559, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating such a beautiful world. We praise you for providing for our needs. Forgive us for not being thankful. Forgive our negative attitudes and behaviors. Help us to be positive in all areas of our lives. Show us how to have an attitude of gratitude. Remind us that you are with us in the good and bad times. You have promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. May we learn to be a blessing to you and to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together here at Glenshaw Valley with other churches in our community as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. And if you have a child next door, you need to get them. Let's get them for the children's sermon. We have no specific age. Come on up, Bill.
What's coming up this week?
It's a big week.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, that's right. And what happens at Thanksgiving? You know?
We pray for what we're thankful for.
That's a great answer. And what do you think Thanksgiving is for?
You eat turkey.
You eat turkey, see? that's the answer I was looking for. And what do you do for Thanksgiving?
You hang out.
That's right, because you gather as a family, right? And everybody hangs out and talks about things. You know, and today that's what I wanted to kind of focus on, because I want you really hard, now you have to think real, real hard, go deep inside there, and think of one thing that you're grateful for, if you're thankful for. And then what I'm going to do is I have an ornament right here, okay, that we're going to take and we're going to put on the Christmas tree in the church. And it's going to have what your word is that you're thankful for on it. And then for the Christmas Eve service, when you come back for the Christmas Eve service, we're going to let it hang for the season. When you come back Christmas Eve, you can take this home and put it on your own Christmas tree. And you'll remember what you're thankful for. So if you think of one word, if you think of a few, I can condense it to one word. And I have my markers here, so I'm going to mark it down. Aren't they great, huh?
Yeah. Look at all the colors.
Okay, so who wants to go first? What's the one thing you're thankful for? Okay, that hand went up first.
For talking?
For turkey. Okay, so you're thankful for turkey. Well, that's a big one. So basically, you're thankful for food, right? Any kind of food, turkey, cookies, anything. So you'd be thankful for food, right? Okay, so on here, I'm going to put food, and I'm going to make this way bigger later on so you can see it. But there's yours, and it says food on it, okay? Because that's something that not everybody gets to do. Some people don't have the opportunity to eat like we do. We're very blessed to be able to do that. So when you're having your Thanksgiving dinner, think of the people who are trying to have a nice Thanksgiving themselves with maybe just a little bit to go on. Okay? What's the word that you're thinking of?
Family.
Family. Wow. Great word. So we're going to mark down family here. Okay? And now it's your guys' responsibility. Big word, huh? It's up to you guys to decide what it is, which one of these is yours when you see it on the tree, okay? And then on Christmas Eve, you remember to take it home. And your word is?
Love.
Love. Oh, boy, you guys are amazing. Did you practice it?
I just like love because.
You just like love because?
People like each other.
Oh, that is so precious. You're precious. And that's the one thing that I'm thankful for, you guys, because, you know, you're little now, and this is a big church. Well, not real big, but it is a big church. And you guys are little, and someday you're going to grow up to be our congregation because you're the youth in this church. So you're going to grow up and be the congregation of tomorrow. And that's important because that's going to be when we're sitting here looking at you guys doing what I'm doing today. You might be doing a children's sermon. You might be doing Leonard's sermon, Reverend Pate's sermon someday. You don't know what it's going to take us down the road. But I'm so thankful for your answers because they were fabulous. And the one thing we need to be thankful for is God in our lives, and the things that we have, like great parents, and things that other people don't have. So when you're having your turkey this week, I want you to think about what we have and how we can help others to have what we have. So if we can, you know, share ourselves or share something we have with people, toys maybe that we're not going to use anymore, we could give them to children that don't have toys. Things that are clothes that we grew out of, maybe we could give those to people who don't have clothes, the other little guys and girls and, you know, around that don't have clothes that fit them. Maybe we could share it with that. So when you're thinking about being thankful, be thankful what we have, and then add the other word onto it, and that would be share. And we can share what we have so that they too can be saved. Okay? So let's say a prayer. You want to all gather hands? Can we do this? Okay, cool. All right, I'll slide over. Okay, ready? Bow our heads. Lord God, we thank you today for the many blessings that you bestow upon us with these children, with our church family, and with the choir and our pastor, because all these people together make us thankful to come every Sunday to worship you in a house filled with love and with gratitude, and mostly, Lord, of your word that we try to live by. We thank you for the many blessings, Lord, that you give us each and every day. And we ask that you give us all a moment of peace and thankfulness through this hectic week, and that we're allowed to join it with our family and friends and enjoy our day with you and our family on Thanksgiving and each day of the year. We pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Okay, guys, you go ahead and go, and I'll make sure your things get on the tree, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, and thank you, choir. Very beautiful. Responsive reading, Psalm 65, 704, and back you hymnals, 704. Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayers, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed is the man you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We're filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple.
You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. Our God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of all parts of the seas. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide a people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You crown the year with your bounty, and your hearts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow, the hills are clothed with gladness.
The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. At this time, I'll invite the elder on the door to come forward. Prayer requests and praise requests. And then don't want to give praise and thanksgiving.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We have prayer requests this morning. Shawnee has asked for prayers for Jennifer and her family. Jennifer's husband committed suicide last weekend, and there were many issues, family issues, financial issues, emotional stress, grief, and we just ask that the family be lifted up in prayer and that they can come through this and see some reason behind what has happened. Kathy Segi has asked for prayer for her uncle, Jack Ryan. Jack needs to have heart surgery, at least a triple bypass, on Monday. And she asks for prayer that the doctors and the care staff will be able to pull him through. And Kathy asks for prayers for a friend, George Schindler. George had to have an emergency procedure on Friday. He's doing well, but the area is precancerous. Prayers that the doctors find a cause as to why this condition keeps returning. And Kathy has also asked for prayers for Sandy Salmon. Sandy will be in a little bit longer than expected, and she may be having her neck procedure and surgery, as well as shoulder surgery, while she is still in the Highland Park Care Center. So we pray that her stay there is productive and she can have everything taken care of at one time. I would also ask for prayers for those who are traveling over the holiday coming up. Safe travels, good time with family and friends, and that everyone does take time to remember what it is that they're thankful for. And we also have a praise request from Kathy for Mabe, Tom, and Verna. Thank you for coming out on your own time to organize all of the donated food bank items. This takes a lot of time and effort, and they have been going above and beyond their expected duties. So we praise that we have members who are willing to step up and do those things.
Just like to add prayer for a wonderful Thanksgiving for everyone. If you're traveling, if you're staying home, or if you're coming down to work and eat here, just everyone has a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving holiday without any stomach aches. Is that too much to ask? A little update on John Rally. I saw him yesterday afternoon. He's over at Passive, been operated on. He's having trouble with the ball and socket. Not able to repair that properly. He's 92, but he is in very good spirits. We had a nice talk yesterday, so let's keep him in a little special prayer right now. and Paul Kosciuk with what he's going through, a little special prayers for him and his wife also. And I told you last week, because I'm having sometimes a little trouble getting my words right now from the concussion. I'm still kind of going through that. I'm realizing it's going to take me a little longer to get over it than I thought it was to get back to normal. I'm seeing a neurologist this week, but I am getting better. But I'm kind of forgetting things. That's why I might not see something listed in the bulletin I got on the PowerPoint. So I'm kind of hit and miss right now. So just bear with me a little bit. Everything is getting better though. So I thank you for your prayers for me, for those who've been praying. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is a day that we should rejoice. We don't always do that. We should rejoice because you are in our lives. You've given us life, and you've provided us with an abundant earth full of food and wonder and things to keep us occupied and happy. You've given us friends and family, occupations. You've given us the church and the Holy Spirit to empower us. You've given us minds to think with, and our emotions, all of our senses. You've given us food, so many things to be thankful for, Lord. And yet at times we grumble and we complain. Help us to find that attitude of gratitude, to find more things to be thankful about than not to be thankful about, and to voice our thankfulness to you and to those around us, to find that sense of joy and happiness in our lives that is contagious. Help us, Lord. We need your guidance, your love, your understanding, your patience. We also need your prodding, and at times we even need your discipline. And today, as we come together as the Church of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley, we lift all these prayers up to you, knowing that you hear them, that you already know about them before we even speak them. But you have told us within the Scripture to bring our prayer request to you, and to do it with thanksgiving. So we say thank you for hearing and for answering according to your will and your might and your glory. Thank you for every good thing that comes from above. And help us to reach out and be instruments of peace and help and thanksgiving where we can. And to give not just of our time and our energies, but of our very heart. Help us to love. Help us to be giving. And help us, especially during this week of Thanksgiving, to take time to say thank you, Lord, for every blessing in my life. And thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song, and I did load it this week. Shout to the Lord. Thank you. thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the gifts that have been poured out from heaven. We recognize this day that you own everything, that all of earth is yours. All our possessions ultimately belong to you. All the gifts that we have ultimately come from you. And we thank you for entrusting them to us. May we use them for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for every good gift that is given and used. Bless this congregation this day. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. In today's message, Paul is encouraging the Philippians to go about and be good representatives and good ministers and good witnesses to all. For by our joy, by our fruits of our spirit, we are known to be Christians, followers of Christ and disciples. And by that, we can draw others in. So listen to your own personal message as I read Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice always in the Lord. I say rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds and your in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard of me or have seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. First, I want to thank Anna put us a sign up front, I believe, from the Rotary Club announcing the Thanksgiving dinner, and I believe it's going to be used for the cookie walk, so that's a good advertisement for us. People look and know that we're here and alive and doing something, so that is certainly good, so thank you. In 1998, there was a film that was nominated to 7 Academy Awards. It was entitled Life is Beautiful. It's a touching story about an Italian Jewish family that's taken to a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. At the Camp Guido, the father uses his fertile imagination to shield his son Joshua from the horrors of life in this horrible, terrible place. He hides his son from the Nazi guards and he sneaks him food and tries to humor him. And Guido does everything he can to hide the true situation from his son Joshua. In an attempt to keep up his son's spirits, Guido convinces him that the camp is just a game, in which the first person to get 1,000 points wins a tank. He tells him that if he cries, he loses points. If he complains that he wants his mother, says that he is hungry, he will lose points. Quiet boys who hide from the camp guards earn points. First one to 1,000 wins. Under the most tragic circumstances, Guido brings joy into his son's life by turning an awful circumstance into a game. Guido was played by the Italian actor and director, and I hope I probably will butcher the name, Roberto Benigni. Is that right? Or even close? When Roberto received the Best Actor Award, the first for a male performer ever given by an Academy Award for a non-English speaking role, he burst in joy and danced over the tops of the chairs and leaped up onto the stage. I remember watching that and seeing it. He then proceeded to squeeze actress Sophia Loren, who presented him with the award so tightly that he nearly crushed her. Then he said he wanted to kiss everybody and die in an ocean of generosity. At the following year's ceremony, when he read the nominees for Best Actress, host Billy Crystal playfully appeared behind him with a large net to restrain him if he got excessive with his antics again. Explaining his behavior, he said this: "It's a sign of mediocrity when you demonstrate gratitude with moderation." I think that's a very beautiful statement if we really think about it. It's a sign of mediocrity when you demonstrate gratitude with moderation. I think that's a sentiment that the Apostle Paul would agree without any hesitation. Listen to his words again. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." In other words, don't be moderate in giving thanks to God. And this doesn't mean we have to become a Pentecostal church and dance in the aisles and jump over the pews and holler. But I read about a recent rural Baptist church years ago that folks got real excited at some revival meetings. And if you've ever been in a Pentecostal or a Baptist church where they get excited in revival meetings, you can understand this. One man stood up and declared, "I've been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and I'm going to quit." Folks in the congregation said, "Amen." Then another man stood up, "I've been drinking 2 cans of beer a day, and I'm going to quit." And there was, "Amen, brother, amen." One said, "I've been cursing an awful lot, and I'm going to quit," said another parishioner. Then there was amens all over the congregation. And caught up in the excitement of the moment, an older lady stood up and said, "I haven't been doing anything, and I'm going to quit that too." She didn't want to miss out on the excitement, even though she hadn't done anything. It's nice to get excited in church every once in a while. It doesn't happen often enough. One thing we should get excited about every day is the blessings that we have received from God in our lives. "Do not be anxious about anything," wrote St. Paul, "but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Often we go to God and ask Him for something, and we don't say thank you in our prayers. It says to me that gratitude ought to be the dominant theme of our lives. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but our whole year should be marked by an attitude of gratitude. That is the only way to live. Such an attitude will do wonders for your health as well as your psychological well-being. Now, at least that's the testimony of many people. According to Dr. Michael Brickley, a psychologist who focuses on issues related to aging, he says that more and more citizens are living to be 100 or more, living active lives. He says they have things in common. He's isolated these. The first is a sense of gratitude. They are grateful for having life, just a basic thing. And then they have a proactive approach to life. They desire to learn and grow and have an optimistic attitude, the same things that the Bible tries to teach us to have. You can call it a self-fulfilling prophecy if you like, but it appears that the more grateful you feel, the more things that you have to feel grateful about. The old song says, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." That's the testimony of the seniors who are living these rich, full lives. Scientist Robert Emmons, in an article on the joy of thanks, considers the physical and psychological benefits of thankfulness to be equal to that of therapy. He said, "Gratitude promotes a basic disposition, one that seems to make living happier, healthier, more fulfilling, and even longer lives. So we need to all do ourselves a favor and learn to thank God daily for the blessings that we have received. And not just when things are going your way, we need to learn to thank you regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. In the book of Acts, Paul and Silas are preaching in Galatia when God directs them to go to Macedonia. At first they didn't want to go, but everywhere they tried to go, that they wanted to go, the doors were closed and God just didn't allow them to go there. Slam shut. Finally they agreed to follow God's will. When they finally got to Macedonia, they were falsely accused of a crime. They are beaten, thrown into jail. Imagine that. God's will, and these things are happening to you. They did what they believed God wanted them to do, and they were running into all kinds of problems and troubles. At this point, Paul and Silas have a choice. Will they give in to self-pity? Will they begin complaining? Not Paul and not Silas. In the dark prison cell, they begin praising God and singing hymns. Suddenly, an earthquake shakes the prison. Their chains fall off. The prison doors fly open, and the prisoners are released. Praise and thanksgiving will always set us free from our troubles, even if the circumstances do not change. The great evangelist Dwight Moody told about an older man who got up in a meeting that he was conducting. The man said that he had lived nearly all of his life on Grumble Street, but he had decided to move to Thanksgiving Street. What a beautiful thing. A nice change of address from Grumble Street to Thanksgiving Street. Isn't that what the Bible is trying to get us to do? Be a thankful, grateful, happy, joyous, rejoicing people. It's easy to count your blessings when things are going your way, but it takes a mature faith to give thanks when things are not so good in your life. Writer Kathleen Norris tells about a friend of hers, a young woman who's a brilliant scholar. She was stricken with cancer, and over the course of several years, she came very close to dying on three different occasions. Fortunately, after extensive treatments of radiation and chemotherapy, she went into remission, and her prognosis is uncertain at best, but she's been able to return to teaching. Even after all she's been through, this friend once remarked to an older colleague, "I never want to go back to the way I was living before the cancer, because now I know that each morning means, and I am so grateful just to be alive." That is a testimony of many people who've been through similar trials. They're grateful to be alive and able to appreciate what each morning brings and means. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of our dependence on God. Gratitude is an action that has its roots in grace, the free, undeserved love of God. When we are truly grateful, we become aware that we are dependent for everything upon God, and we're also dependent upon our fellow human beings, our family, our church, our neighbors. And we are truly grateful, we recognize that God has favored us, whether we deserve favoring or not. Thanksgiving is a holiday on which we acknowledge our dependence on God, as well as our acknowledgement of the many blessings that we have in our lives. Bishop Thomas Ken understood that. Bishop Ken wrote the words to the tune that we know and we sing is our doxology. Bishop Ken was born in England 17 years after the Pilgrims came to America. His life was extremely turbulent. He experienced personal problems as well as physical and political turmoil. He lived through the Great London Fire that destroyed 4/5 of the city. He lived through the bubonic plague that brought death to thousands and thousands. And in spite of this, he maintained an attitude of praise to God as he demonstrated that attitude in the time-honored chorus that we sing. But have you ever really thought about the words or listened to the words? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Not some, not a few, but all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. To me, that means the cats and the dogs, all the animals, but all the people especially. Praise God. Praise Him, ye heavenly hosts, the angels in heaven praise Him. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Gratitude ought to be the dominant theme of our lives, and not just when things are going our way. Gratitude is an acknowledgement of our dependence on God and an acknowledgement that all blessings come from God. After all, it's a sign of mediocrity when you demonstrate gratitude with moderation. So let's make sure we say thanks to God every day. And let's all remember, life is beautiful when you live it every day with God and are grateful in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Life is beautiful. May God bless you. Amen. Can you wear it? Our closing hymn is 556, Now Thank We All Our God.
Being thankful. It may take you a moment to find something to be thankful about. but it will be well worth it. Go from here in the name of the Father, and the Son,